We're looking today again in the book of Romans, a great book and a deep book. For those of you that haven't been with us or visiting today, we've been in a series of Romans for about 4 months now and plan to be for a couple more months. There's just so much in the book of Romans. It's deep and good, and sometimes we start there and go other places, sometimes stay completely in Romans. And so today I want to talk to you about a couple of verses in Romans chapter 2, and then I want to read the words of Jesus and some other things. I want to speak to you today about a subject that is very real in the church today, just as it was very real in the church in the early first century. These words that I'm going to read in just a moment are from the Apostle Paul, and he was writing to people and to dynamics and things that were going on in the early church that really has so many parallels and similarities to what goes on in the church today. The Apostle Paul was wrestling in the first century with what genuine Christian faith was and what it meant to be a real Christian. He wrote in Romans about the difference between the outward appearance and the inward heart. And today I want us to think about for a few minutes the difference between what's on the outside and what's on the inside, the inward spirit that God is able to look at and to clean. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, my text really is two verses at the end of chapter 2 of Romans. Turn with me to verse 28 and 29. The words will also be on the screen this morning if you want to read them. And we'll begin there at Romans chapter 2, verse 28. The outward appearance or the inward spirit. A man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he's one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. This morning I want to ask you if your Christianity is only outward or it's deep inside who you are. Paul, I believe, is reacting in the first century to the formalism of Jewish life. The pretension of some people because they were born a Jew and they were living in a Jewish land and their parents were Jews and they knew what it meant to be a Jew on the outside, but yet they weren't living at all like God wanted them to live. I believe that Paul wrestled with this throughout his ministry. He certainly did with the Jewish people when he ministered, but he also wrestled in the early church with Christianity. In the early church in some places that was heavy on the outward appearance, but really light on the inward appearance. And some of the people that Paul ministered to, they claimed to be followers of Jesus, and they even said the right things, and even many of their outward actions were good and right, but Paul knew that on the inside they weren't what they needed to be. I'm reminded that all throughout the Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, we have examples of people who are one way on the outside and different on the inside. We certainly have beautiful examples of people who were one way and professed and claimed to be the people of God, and they lived it out in powerful ways. We certainly have examples of people who never said anything, but they lived out what God wanted them to, and they're truly heroes of the faith. But we also have in the Scriptures examples and places of people who claim to be one thing but live something else. See, there have always been pretenders spiritually. Always been people that are a little bit less than genuine, and they don't really live 7 days a week and 24 hours a day what they put on their face and may seem to be at other times. This really is an important issue for God's people. Important enough that Paul writes about it in Romans and Jesus talked about it many times in other stories of the Bible. Many places in the Bible we have descriptions of supposedly God's people who are half-hearted, easily distracted, sitting on the fence. You might call them fair-weather Christians. People that have all kinds of issues, but they never seem to get over them. I mean, we all have issues, but I mean people who have problems and struggles and issues, but they never seem to move in a positive direction of being straightened out on the inside. They might be people that hold grudges. Maybe people who undermine others. Sometimes they're judgmental people. Sometimes they get easily offended. They don't resolve their conflicts biblically. Self-centered. Sometimes it comes out as people that always see the faults in other people and never really able to look on the inside of who they are. Some people call these kind of people hypocrites, two-faced. The word hypocrites find many times in the New Testament, found many times in the New Testament, and in fact 20 times Jesus uses the term hypocrite. I know that it's so popular out there to say, well, all Christians are hypocrites, and I've heard that many times from people who are dealing with some kind of bitterness or some kind of problem or some kind of hurt and pain in their lives, and so they just kind of classify every Christian as a hypocrite. Sometimes people are out of balance and they're one thing on the outside but something on the inside because of pain, and they're dealing with things that hurt so deeply that they have trouble knowing how to deal with it, and their lives really are marked by a bitterness on the inside that just seems to overflow who they are and their relationships. Sometimes people are not very clean on the inside because they have an intentional fist up in the face of God, and you might even call it a carnal spirit. You call it a spirit that says, I want my own way and I'm not going to allow God to have full authority in my life. There's just all kinds of ways and places that people can be at the place where they can be a Jew outwardly, but not inwardly. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's immaturity and everybody's on a journey, and sometimes we don't realize things till it's too late or long in the process, and we wish we would have learned things when we were a lot younger, or we would have handled things different. We all go through experiences like that. Sometimes it's weaknesses, blind spots. Sometimes we don't do anything intentional, but later we look back and we realize how shallow we could have been as a Christian and how we dealt with a situation or how we dealt with people. I have to believe that we have a great friend in the Holy Spirit. Who sees and knows everything. And He wants to examine our hearts and our lives on the inside. The Holy Spirit is working and wants to change within. See, God cares deeply about the inside of your heart. Through Romans, it seems like I've talked mostly about the outside so far, and some of both, and I'm sure a lot mixed up, but today I want to focus on the inward part of who we are. The inward part is important to God, too. So many things about the heart that's important to God. Number one is God sees our hearts for what they are. God sees the struggle. God sees that part of us that may have our hands up and say, this doesn't belong to you. He sees the deepest places. He sees the weaknesses. He sees our fears. He sees where we've been hurt in the past. See, you may feel like you're one way one day and something else and you don't understand it, but I want you to know that God understands that. He understands the journey that you're on. He understands when you get so frustrated with yourself if you're a Christian. Why did I do that again? Why that attitude? Lord God, why can't I get over this? I want you to know that God sees that, and God wants to purify your heart. God wants to make you clean. God wants to take away that stuff on the inside that's not pleasing to Him. He wants to wash it out with His Spirit. There's something about the power of God that goes far beyond our own abilities. God wants to take everything, the junk on the inside, and He wants to just run His Holy Spirit through it and clean it out. He wants to wash us out by His Spirit. God calls us to an inward holiness. He calls us to something on the inside in addition to what we are on the outside. In fact, He probably says more about the inside. Certainly, in Paul's writings and Jesus' words, he talks a lot more about the inside than the outside. How important it is to know that God wants to take everything that we are and everything on the inside, and He wants to make it clean and holy. Paul gives us this picture of circumcision. That's what a circumcised heart is, Paul says. God is looking for circumcised hearts. To us, that probably doesn't mean near what it did to the Jews in the first century and the Old Testament, because circumcision was such an important symbol of the presence of God and the ownership of God over the Jewish people. Circumcision meant, I belong to God. Paul says, you can say that you belong to God, but unless He circumcised your heart and He has your heart and He has the deepest part of you, then He really doesn't have you at all. Way back in Deuteronomy, we read the same thing in the Old Testament. God said the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. It says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all of your heart and with all your soul and live. You realize that God wants to circumcise your heart. The only way that that happens is when you come before God and you say, God, everything I have is Yours. I turn away from anything that belongs to me and I give it to You, God. Circumcised hearts. The purpose of a circumcised heart is that we will love God with all that we are. That everything in your life is given to God. He wants it. He loves you. The ultimate test of the genuineness of your Christianity is that love for Him. So that you will love Him. And you love God with all that you are, and you love your neighbor as yourself. It says all the law and the prophets and the rules and the commandments, all that stuff just kind of all falls into, do you love God with all that you are? A circumcised heart. It's probably why the Bible tells us so many times and in so many ways to pay attention to the condition of your heart, to the condition of your spirit, your attitude, your motives, your affections. Above all else, the Scripture says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Some of you know that many years ago, it's been about 15 years ago now, my dad went into open heart surgery. It was a very sudden thing. He went to a family doctor. He was not feeling well. He went to the family doctor in the late afternoon, and you know, they did their test and all that, and they took him right to the hospital and said, open heart surgery as soon as we can get the team together. And it's a very sudden thing. Because he's my dad, you imagine the reaction I had when I heard that. My dad, his heart. And he went into surgery. I drove and got there, and he did fine. He was up and around the next day and did great. You're doing well today. Guard your heart. It's a wellspring of life. You know, when we hear somebody's got a heart attack or a heart problem, that brings up certain feelings and emotions about taking care of it, doing the right thing. Don't wait. Don't delay. Make sure that you get the right people there to deal with it. And how important it is spiritually that we don't wait, we don't delay. When God's Spirit speaks to us about something in the heart, our reaction is, let's take care of it. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Joel chapter 2 says, rend your heart, not your garments. That's a picture in the Old Testament of especially the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, that when they heard bad news or they heard terrible news, that they would take their robes and they would pull it apart to show how upset they were and sorry they were about what happened. Say Israel was in a battle and they lost the battle, then the Pharisees would tear their robes, or somebody would blaspheme God in the presence of the Pharisees and they would tear their clothes apart. And so Joel says, it's not the clothes you need to pull apart, it's your heart before God. Talking about a tender heart. Talking about a heart that comes before God and says, God, I am all yours. I want you to have your perfect way in my life. I'm reminded that God always knows where and what we're thinking and what we're doing. I'm thinking of the Scripture that says the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is young David, the shepherd boy, and you know, the choosing of the next king of Israel. And apparently all of David's brothers were tall and strong, and you know, they just looked like if anybody was going to be the king, it would be one of those brothers. And you know, all those brothers come through before the prophet Samuel, and God says, well, that one, he's the oldest, he's the biggest, the strongest, the most experienced, but that's not the one. And then the next one, and the next one, and there's none left. And finally, Samuel says, well, is that all? Is there not another brother? And Jesse, the father of David, says, well, there's one more, but he's just a shepherd boy. Well, go and get him and bring him in. And he comes in, that little boy. And so God sees something in David that nobody else could see. See, God sees both the potential and the future and the good. But He also sees those areas of our lives that are weak and have problems and have issues. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Today I want to invite you to pray about your heart. Take time this morning in this service to pray about the inside. What you are and who you are. What God would say to you. That is why we need God's Holy Spirit speaking to us every day, because He has things to say to us. See, Jesus in His day talked a lot about the heart. He talked about the inside. He had some wonderful things to say about some people, and encouraging, and things that just helped them to be affirmed in their genuineness. But He also said some things to those that were not as genuine. And He talked about those differences. Jesus talked about the difference between what was on the outside and what was on the inside. One of the many things that I did and pictures that I took when I was in Israel last year about this time was outside the walls of Jerusalem on the mountain, the Mount of Olives, outside of the old city, and down across the Kidron Valley, you have the Garden of Gethsemane, and you have some very special sites. But also across the Mount of Olives are thousands, tens of thousands of graves. And I took a lot of pictures of them. This is one picture. Go to that next one if you would. Literally, you look down from the old city, from the Temple Mount, and you look at that area, the Mount of Olives, and you just see solid white, because it's just stone white, grave after grave after grave after grave. And apparently, people that want to be buried there, Jews from all over the world, have to pay enormous amounts of money to be buried on the Mount of Olives. You can imagine over time, as they continue to bury people, that there's less and less space. And I heard one figure, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard one figure that they paid up to $1 million to be buried on the Mount of Olives because they want to be facing Jerusalem. They believe, some Jews do, that when they die, that and when the resurrection comes, they want to be facing Jerusalem so that they'll be the first to come out of their graves. I wonder if this might be the idea that Jesus had, because there were some graves there when Jesus was there, not the extent, of course, that it is today, but all white on the outside and yet full of dead man's bones. When He wrote in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, listen to these words. It says, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus just cuts right to the core. He cuts right to the heart. He discerns the truth. And He says, you can look real good on the outside like those graves do, but on the inside it's full of dead man's bones. He uses this word hypocrite or hypocrisy. I mentioned a few minutes ago, over 20 times Jesus uses that word. The word hypocrisy or hypocrite in the Greek means an actor, someone that takes on the appearance of another. Of course, in the early Greek plays and in other places, they held up a little mask over the face, and when the actor would give his part, he would hold up a mask. Everybody knew who it was, but the idea was to draw attention that I'm somebody else and I'm playing the part of someone else. And Jesus says that's what it's like when we claim to be a Jew inwardly, but we're not. We claim to be a Christian, but we're not living the way that God wants us to. Over 20 times He uses that word for pretender to warn His people to be careful about the inside. Pay attention to the heart. Pay attention to the deepest things on the inside. Does God have your heart this morning? Does He have everything inside of you? That's the question.